Good morning. You are listening to Amud v'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Ches, Amud Beis. We are at the bottom of Lamed Ches, Amud Aleph, last couple of lines. It's geschmack. It's confusing, and it's going to get a little more confusing today, Yirtzeh Hashem. But we're going to walk out with a very nice foundation in a very important area of Hilchos Shabbos, in a very common area in Hilchos Shabbos. And you know, when you're in the kitchen figuring out, you know, chulent, and you know, could be you're already familiar with a lot of the halachos. Could be you don't know, you just need to see whatever your wife's doing, and you know, you should trust that she learned it well. But now you have to really get an understanding. There's obviously when it gets to halacha lemaisa, some points that I know and I'll mention, some of the mafarshim mention we'll get to, but a lot of it gets complicated halacha lemaisa. But to just understand the shailas to ask and how everything comes about, and just to retain it in a way that you can remember, is very one of the nice benefits of this sugya. So let's continue our discussion. We're gonna continue talking about Hachzara. We're gonna talk about a couple of different types of ovens as well in our new Mishnah. And let's get started right away. So we said in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. So Beis Hillel said that you can return something to, right? It was taken off the kira. You can return it to the kira. So let's just qualify this. Omer of Sheshes L'divrei Omer Machzirin Afilu B'Shabbes. So the one who says that you're allowed to do chzara, you're allowed to return it, meaning Beis Hillel, so this is even on Shabbos. So, right, that's what we thought, right? Of course, we're talking about Shabbos. There's certainly no problem of doing Shehiyah Erev Shabbos and then taking it off Erev Shabbos and then putting it back on Erev Shabbos. That's not a thought. So Rashi explains, now it means B'yom ha-machras, the following day. When it says Shabbos, it means Shabbos day, right? V'lo teiman, don't say plugtayu mishach ha-sheicha. Don't say that the machlokis is when it gets dark. V'hasam hu desharu mishum demukha milsa da'adata da'adure. V'tzarech machar. Don't think that the reason that the mekilin, meaning Beis Hillel, permit it, they permit it because mucha de milsa da data da dure, that it's because it's proven that his intention is to return it with tzorach machar for the next day, shakile. That's why he's allowed to take it and then put it back. Aval bayom lo muchach de shakile adate da hadure ubatala la hatmana and your mevatel the hatmana. It's like you're, meaning, when it says you're mevatel hatmana, it means like you interrupted the shehiyah, right? That it was there, it was waiting, and it was on the kira, on the stove. You took it off, and if it's at night, so perhaps I can return it because we know that you want to return it there and have it for the next day. But once it's already the next day, maybe that's too much already. Maybe we the next day you can't do hachzara. So no, it's don't think that the shita that's makel and says you could return it even on b'Shabbos, meaning even Shabbos day, that's okay. Vav Rabbi Yoshaya savar af machzir nafila b'Shabbos, and Rabbi Yoshaya also is explicit about that you're allowed to do hachzara not just Friday night but even Shabbos day. Dam Rabbi Yoshaya pamachas hayinu. Oh well, he's this is how. This is how it came about that Rav Hoshaya holds this. He says, "Pam achas hayinu omdim le'ela mirabi chia rabba." So one time we were standing before Rav Chia Rabba. Right, we've seen this term earlier. I think Daf Lamed, right, a couple of times. Le'ela, remember I mentioned over there. Le'ela. It was right. He's standing in front of him. Ve'elanu lo kumkumus. And we brought up for him a kumkumus. So I don't know if anybody else has. Do you have a kumkum in your house? Have you ever heard that term, kumkum? I don't know. I wasn't sure if it, like, it just because my wife is Israeli that's why we have a kumkum in our house, and she's in charge of all the terminology of everything in the kitchen. But I guess, okay, other people have a kumkum too. So a kumkum is a kettle, but this seems to be the origin of that word. I don't think it's Hebrew. Probably, I mean, it's modern Hebrew, probably borrowed from Aramaic. A kumkumus. We'll see, because later on there's like going to be a Mishnaic term for a kettle, but the Gemara's term is this, a kumkumus. So a shalchamin, and it, of hot water, and midyoto hatachtona l'diyoto ha'alyona. It was from the diyota, Rashi says, aliyah, so like floors in the house. So basically, the kumkum was, I guess, downstairs, and they brought it upstairs, where they took the hot water off the kettle. Umazgenu lo es hakos, and then they poured the kos, meaning they poured the hot water in to dilute a cup of wine. And here's the key point: v'achzirenuhu l'mkomo, and we returned it to its place. So the hachzara on this. V'lo amar lanu davar, and he didn't say any. There was any problem with it. He didn't tell us we couldn't do that. So the chiddush over here would seem to be that. Even if it's not so obvious that you are taking it out and returning it, right? Meaning, if it's the next day, for example, we said before, if it's the next day, so it's not if you took it, right? If you take off the chilling pot, let's say at night, so we know you want to save it for the next day, so it's very clear that you want to do hachzara. However, the next morning you take the chillant off the blech or off the stove, let's say. So that's going to be we're not sure you necessarily want to do it. We say no, even if it's the next day, that's fine. That's the shita of Beis Hillel, the Mechilin. So we have Rav Hoshaya holds similarly because he was on a different floor, and so you take the kettle off the stove and you go up to the different floor. It looks like you're not going to return it, but he is returning it. So clearly, you don't need it to be very obvious that you're going to return it to that place. You are going to need something else, which we'll get to in a moment, but you don't need it to be obvious. Even Shabbos day would not be a problem. Even going from one floor to another wouldn't be a problem. But what do you need? So we'll see momentarily. Amar Rav Zvika, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Tadai. Lo shanu. So there's an important qualification. We didn't learn this. That meaning we only have this permissibility to return it. Ela sheoden biyado. Only if it's still in his hand, the one who took it off, it needs to be in his hand. Aval hanichan al gabe karka, aser. But if you put it down on the floor, or well, let's say that for now. If you put it down on the floor, that indicates that you broke up the shehiyah, and therefore, when you pick it back up again and put it back on, it's like you're putting it on the stove for the first time, which is obviously forbidden on Shabbos. So it's important. He says you have to keep it in your hand. And Amar Rav Ami, Rav Tad. Oh, sorry. So now let's see if everyone agrees to that. Amar Rav Ami, Rav Ami says, Rav Tadai da Avid le Garmei hu da Avid. Rav Tadai did it in accordance with himself, right? Ela hachi Amar Rav Chiya, Amar Rav Yochanan. But this is what Rav Yochanan says: Afilu hanicha gavei karka mutter. Even if you put it on the ground, it's mutter. So he says Rav Tadai is, I don't know, he's doing his own thing. You know, he wants his own chumras, but Rabbi Yochanan says that you can even put it on the ground. Okay, so let's see. So this machlokas, we'll see it gets a little, it's not, doesn't stay just between them. Pligi bar Rav Dimi v'Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda v'Tarvayu Mishmei d'Rav Elazar. So these two Amorayim both argue, but both of their opinions is based on Rav Elazar. So they have two different understandings of Rav Elazar. Amri Chad, one of them said. Mishmei Rabbi Lazar Amri. Chad Amar Odin Biyado Mutter Al Gabe Karka Aser. One says that if it's in your hand, it's Mutter, but if you put it on the ground, it's Aser. V'chad Amar Hanichan Al Gabe Karka Nami Mutter. Right? So the same machlokes. So apparently Rabbi Lazar also said both of these opinions. We don't know which one he actually said, but they both believe that the Rebbe said that. Okay. And now we're about to see two, Amar Chizkiah, we're going to see a teaching of Chizkiah. And there's going to be two versions of this, and it's going to be a big, important nafkamina lahalacha, but we'll see if we can resolve it. So Amar Chizkiah Mishmeida Abaye, Chizkiah says in the name of Abaye, Hod Amrat Odin Biyado Mutter, this that we said that if it's still in your hand, it's Mutter, Lo amran elishadata lahaksir. You don't. It's not enough just to have it in your hand. You also need to have intended to return it. Aval ein data lahaksir, usser. And if you, so even if it's in your hand, if you didn't have the intention when you took it off that you were going to return it, it is usser. In order to retain its status of the shahiyah, of waiting there on the stove, you would need to have das and have it in your hand. Michlal da'al gabi karka, afal pisha da'ata lahaksir usser. And the implication also is that if you put it on the ground, even if your intention is to return it, it's usser. So that's machmer. That means that we have these two requirements of biyado and daita lahachzer. Ika d'amri, there are those that teach this, the teaching in the following way. Amar chizke mishmei d'abaye hodamat al gabe karka. It's al gabe karka usser. Lo amar el she'in daita lahachzer. It's only a problem if you put it al gabe karka, if your intention is not to return it, aval dato lahachsir, but if you had intended to return it, mutter, even though you already put it on the ground. So you don't need to keep it in your hand the whole time. That's only a requirement if you didn't have das lahachsir. So this is very makel. Michlal, sheba odin biyado afa pi she'in dato lahachsir mutter. And the implication also is that if you didn't have das, as long as it's in your hand, mutter, you only need one of those things. You need it to be in your hand, or you need it to be or to have das to return it. Okay, so these are two different versions, and obviously the Rishonim don't agree on how we hold, and it's a little boiled down to a machlokas. By Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a question. He says, "Talad b'makel mahu hanicha nagave mita." Mahu. So what if it's like hanging, you take off the kettle and it's hanging on a peg, or you place it on like a bed. So it's not in your hand, it's not on the floor, but it's some middle zone. What would halakha be? This is actually, from what I've seen, it's very characteristic of Rabbi Yirmiyah to ask such questions. He, very often the Gemara will present certain cases, and he wants to know like some middle ground. So one case I can remember offhand, like a dove is found between two dovecotes, and it's like exactly like one leg over this side of the line, one leg over that side of the line. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a lot of questions like this. But Rav Ashi asks, Pina mecham lemecham, mahu. So, and what if you poured it out from one mecham, one like kettle, or this is going to be the Mishnah's term for a kettle, into another? So, meaning like, let's say you took clearishon or whatever it is, but you take a kettle and you pour it into another kettle, and you still had the first one in your hand, and let's say you had das and all that. So you're planning on returning it. Now you have this new kettle with water that came from the original kettle. Is this considered an extension of the first, and therefore I can return it, right? If it's considered brand new, then obviously I can't put it on the kira, because that's putting hot water on a stove on Shabbos. But is this considered part of the first one? So in all of these cases, Mao?
I find the first two cases interesting. Told by Makil or Anichon Gavim Nisa, but just when it comes to Hatzah, Hanocha, this would constitute Hanocha. Because if I did Akira into someone's home, and then I hung it on a
yeah.
peg.
Regarding carrying, yes.
Qualifies as being placed down.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, because the definition of carrying is akira and hanacha, but that's not necessarily the definition of what's considered a shahiyah and not a shahiyah. Right. I mean, of course. First, we're dealing with the derabban, and I get it's interesting actually, because we're a little bit getting out of territory of the rabban. But no, we're not. It's still derabban because it's a fully cooked item, right? We're talking about a fully cooked item that's being returned while it's still fully cooked. So we're definitely talking about derabbanans here. But who said, right? Like, it's not an akira and a hanacha that's necessarily the problem. It could be there are different standards for what defines breaking up a shahiyah. And you know, if what's the difference if I'm putting it in my hand? Or we're going back to like, you know, daf dalid, if my hand is a reshus or not. I don't think it's saying that. It's about, and why should das make a difference? Daita lahachsir. So it's, you know, the 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 there it would make sense that we're working with different standards than what we're used to with Hotzah.
Okay. And then, there's an assumption that the water has not cooled.
That's a good question. Yeah,
that actually takes place.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that, right? The premise of the concept of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, whatever, is that through the pouring, it loses its status as the original thing, because it's cooler. So if it's cooler, how can you put it back onto the Kira? I hear the question, but I guess we assume that even when it's Kli Sheni, Or maybe you pour it into, depends on what type of kettle you pour it into. Maybe it's another boiling hot kettle and just some Eroy Kli Rishon into this kettle or something like that. But yeah, I think it's a fair point. Okay. So anyway, bottom line, Mahu, Halacha L'maisa, Teiku. Okay. So we'll hold off on those answers for now. New Mishnah. Masnisin, we learn the Mishnah, Tanur, Shehisikuhu Bekash. So by the way, so just Tanur. Tanur is an oven. Kira is also like a stove. Well, in modern here, maybe it's a stove, but it's a different type of oven. And we're going to have another one also. It's called the kupach. Kupach shesikuhu bekash. Right? So in this Mishnah as well. So just to clarify what these are, these three different types of ovens, and this is going to be a different halachic status. So let's take a look at the top Rashi. Tanur. First Rashi of the Mishnah, mitoch shekotzer lamala v'rochav lamata. So it's narrow at the top and wide at the bottom. It's not a triangle though, because it has a flat top, so it's really more of a trapezoid. So mitoch shekotzer lamala v'rochav lamata niklat chomo lisocho tfei mikira. It absorbs heat better, more than a kira does, right? Because a kira is square. Maybe it's actually a rectangle. But it's even at the top and at the bottom, its size. So it doesn't retain heat as much, but a tanur is much more, it's much more narrow and therefore it packs in heat very well. And then we're going to be more machmir with it. And then the kupach is going to mention in a minute. We'll discuss. It's interesting that at closer to the bottom of the amud, it goes into introductory material that you wish it would have done earlier on. So it's going to say, and what's the difference between a kupach and a? It's going to introduce us to these concepts at the bottom of the amud, which is how Rashi knows them now. I'm not going to explain too much now. Hopefully it'll become clear. Tanur shehisiku bekash ubegvava. So a tanur that was lit with straw and stubble, right? That was used as the fuel. Velo yitain bein mitocho bein ma'al gabav. Even straw and stubble, right? This is not talking about the sesame pulp and the wood. This is straw and stubble. You can't put it inside. You can't put it on top. Kupach shehisiku, and just to clarify. We're not sure if we're talking about Shehia or Chazara here either, right? It's going to be Tagoy on the same back and forth we had in the previous Mishnah, so the same things would apply. That shouldn't interfere in our discussion too much, but just that, keep in mind. Kupach, so this smaller square oven, Shesikuhu Bekash Ubegvava, Harizeki Kirayim. So a kupach that you light with kash and gvava, it's like kirayim, like the kira, right? Meaning like stoves in general, like the kira, the same halacha. Presumably it is permitted. Begefes uve eitzim, but if you use this gefes or the eitzim, which we said stays hotter longer and has ashes in it, hari huke tanur. The halacha is going to be like a tanur. So it seems to be this kupach is like a middle ground between the tanur and the kira. And sometimes it's going to be halacha like the kira, and sometimes halacha like the tanur. Well, let's explain this a little bit more. So Gemara says tanur shesiku, right? The tanur that you lit it. So savor of Yosef lemeimar tocho. Tocho Mamish, Al Gabav Mamish. Rav Yosef originally wanted to assume that the Mishnah was saying, when it says that you're for the tanur, you're not allowed to put anything in it or on it, it means in it or on it, that's it. Avalismoch, Shaper Dami. But if you want to put it next to the tanur, then that's okay. Right? We established with the Kira on the previous Amud, maybe two Amudim ago, that the putting it next to, maybe was it a full daf? I don't know. Yeah, two, three, whatever. It was recently, this week, that the Kira, you're allowed to put something next to it. That won't be a problem. However, he wanted to say the same thing by the Tanur. But Abai didn't let him say that. Esve Abaye, by a challenge that, he says, Kupach shesiku bakash v'gvava harihu kikirayim. Right, so we say over here, right, that the kupach that was lit with kash or gvava, so the halacha is like a kira. Begefetz ve'etzem harihu kitanur va'asur, and then we say, right, and so therefore, and with getzim and if we're going to get gefes and etzim, it's like a tanur va'asur, and therefore it's asur. So ha kikira shari. So this implies, right, the fact that we say with gefes and etzim, it's a tanur and it's asur. The implication is that if we would say, oh, it's like a kira, then it would be permitted. Right, the assumption over here, based on that statement, is that we say if it's with gefes and etzim, so then we treat the kupach like a tanur and it's usser. Mashma that if we would say you treat it like a kira, it would be mutter, meaning that it's mutter gefes and etzim, it's mutter with a kira. But that's not so simple. So let's try to think about that. B'mayas kinan, then what are we talking about, right? Again, the implication of the Mishnah over here is that it's treated not like a kira with gefetz and etzim, which would be mutter. So when do we say that gefetz and etzim used as fuel and it's mutter with on the kira? Ilema al gabav, if you're going to say it's on top of it, ubamai, so with what? Ilema kishaino garaf akatum. If it's not garaf and katum, right? If it's not shoveled or banked, these ashes, right? So that's a problem. Akira is not allowed, right? You're not allowed to place it on the kira. Ela kira ki eno grufa viktuma al gabav mishari. But if it's not garaf and katum, then who allows that? Ela lav lismoch. Rather, isn't it talking about putting it next to it, right? Because we were trying to talk about a kira that, right, we said that it's like a tanur and it's usser. Implication is that it's like, well, if it was like a kira, then it'd be permitted. But when do we say gefes and etzim are permitted regarding a kira? That if it's fueled with gefes and etzim, we're allowed to put it on a kira. So if it's not banked and it's not, and not shoveled, we don't say that. The only thing you're allowed to do is place it next to the kira. That's what we established. So it must be that our mission over here is talking about placing it next to. Right? Is that clear? Somewhat. So by implication, our mission must be talking about placing things next to it. That's why it says it's usher like by a tanur and not mutter. But like a kira, because it's only mutter to do the smicha but if the kira is not garuf and not katum, it's only mutter to put it next to the kira. So clearly we're talking about lismoch, vikatani, and our Mishnah taught harihu ketanur va'asur va'asir, right? And it's prohibited. So therefore we see that placing, right, we say by tanur, it's asur. So clearly we're talking about smicha. We're talking about placing it next to it. And we say by tanur, it's asur. Therefore, Rav Yosef is incorrect, says Abaye. You are incorrect in your assumption that when it says you're not allowed to put it in it or on it, that you can put it next to it. It says no. The whole Mishnah is talking about next to it. And it says the tanur is usher to put it next to it. You cannot put anything even next to a tanur. Well, unlike like what you can do by a kira. Amar avada barava, hacha bakupach garuf v'katum, v'tanur grufa v'katum askinan. He says, no, that's not true. This Mishnah could be talking about a tanur and a kupach that were indeed shoveled and or ashes banked, and therefore, right. So that's the case, and that's why for akira, right? And we get, of course, if it's garuf and katum, akira, you're allowed to put it on. You're allowed to put something on. So that's why I suppose it's not because it's, right, it's not that it's eno garuf and eno katum, but we put it next to it. No, it's garuf and katum, and therefore you don't have to just put it next to it. You can even put it on the kira. And that's what we're talking about would be permitted for the kira. And we say a kupach is not like that kira. Right? The kupach is not like the kira, rather it's like a tanur and it's aser. Hari hu ketanur. Da'afa, right, and so we say that kupach is like a tanur, it's usur. Da'afa gav de garuf katum al gabav usur. That even if it's garuf and katum, it's usur. De'ika kira, ki gruva v'katuma, shapir dami. Because if it was like a kira, then if it was garuf and katum, it would also be good. So I know that's confusing. Hopefully in a chazara it'll make more sense. But bottom line is that Rav Ada bar Ava was this? Rav Ada bar Ava defends Rav Yosef's assumption, and he says that Abaye, this Mishnah could have been talking about a garuf v'katum situation, right, where the ashes were shoveled and or banked, and if that's so, then it makes sense that we would say it's like the kira is like the standard of a case that's mutter, because a kira that is garuf and katum is mutter, and the chiddush of this mishnah is that a tanur is that even if it's garuf and katum, because it's so hot, even if it's garuf and katum, you still can't place it in it or on it. And the same thing for a kupach. We say a kupach, we're strict like a tanur. A kupach is also so hot. It's strict like a tanur. And also, if it's garuf and katum, you can't put it on or in it. However, next to it, we didn't say anything about next to it. Abaye asserted that the Mishnah is over here is talking about placing it next to it, and we're machmir. Rada Barava says, not necessarily. I don't see that this has to be next to it. It could be we're talking about garuf and katum and not next to it. We didn't conclude a point, but it's not so clear that Rav Yosef's assertion is rejected, and maybe placing it next to a tanur or a kupach would be okay. We don't know yet at this point. Okay, and with this one without Chazar, it's going to be loose, but with that basic, you know, you hopefully be able to get it more clearly in Chazara. Tanya kavase de Abaye. Anyway, we learn a brisa that's in accordance with Abaye's rejection of Rav Yosef's suggestion. Tanur shehesikuhu bekashiv gvava ein somchen lo. Okay, that's pretty explicit. Hey, tanur that is lit with even kash and gvava, you're not allowed to put something next to it. Vein sarach lomar al gabav, vein sarach lomar litzocho. And if you can't put it next to it, you definitely don't need to put it. You definitely can't put it on top. And I definitely don't need to tell you that you can't put it inside. But I told you anyway, just for good measure. Vein sarach lomar begefes of eitzim. And since we're talking about straw and stubble, which doesn't really leave ashes so much, so I definitely don't have to tell you that you can't do it with sesame pulp and wood. Kupach shesiku b'kashiv gvava somchin lo ve'ein nos nal gabav b'gefes ve'ein nos nal gabav. Right now, however, kupach is not as hot as a tanur, and therefore, if it's kashin gvava, you can be somchin lo, but ve'ein nos nal gabav. And if it's gefes ve'etzim ein somchin lo, then it's going to be too hot, and you can't do that. Okay. So that's a baye, and it's a brisa. So it seems to that will seem to go against Rav Yosef's suggestion. Amar le Ravacha bereda Rava. Ravacha, this brother of Rava said, le Rav Ashi, hai kupach hechi dami. It's an important question. What's a kupach? By the way, we've been talking about it for 15 lines or so. What's a kupach? Ika kira dami afilu begefes of eitzim nami. If it's like a kira, then it should be permitted even for gefes and netzim. Iketanur dami.
Yeah. Just said kubach is kol bekash mikvava. The Hagos Agra says some chilo v'nos takes out the word ain.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I see the little here. Okay. So something low the ain. Wait, oh, v'nosnil. You can even put it on top. Okay, interesting. Very interesting. Okay. So what is the status? So if it's like a kira, feel the gefes of it's a nami, it should be permitted even if with the right. If I mean garav and katum, considering it should be mucher to put it there, even gefes and etzim. Ikatanur dami, but if it's like a tanur, I feel the bakash of a gvava nami lo. Then even for straw and stubble should be a problem. Amarle, so he explains to him. Nafish havle midikira, vazutar havle miditanur. It has more hevel, meaning like hot air. It packs in more heat than a kira. However, has less than a tanur. So it is a middle ground, and halacha reflects that. So hechidami kupach, hechidami kira. What they look like? What's the difference between these things? Amar Yosi Bar Chanina, kupach makom shapisas keder achas. A kupach is a place where you put one, where you can place one kedera on it. Kira makom shapisas shte kederos. And a kira has a place for two different pots, right? So it's like a two, so the, it's a two pot, like stove oven thing. So the kira is a rectangle and the kupach is a square and the tanur is a trapezoid. And the tanur packs the most heat. The square being more focused has less than a tanur, and even less than that is the one that's more spread out, the rectangle of the kira, which most poskim nowadays assume that our ovens are more alike, interestingly, because the door opens like from the side and it's not packed up, so. I think more often than not the halachos are going to be based on the kira. So and we're just going to support this chiluk. Amar Abaye, b'same Rav Yirmiyah, af ananami tanina. We also learned this difference based on the laws of Tumah Tahara. Kira shenichlaka l'orcha tahora l'rachva tameya. If you have a kira that was split in half lengthwise, it's tahora, and widthwise, it's tameya. Right, meaning so, remember a kli tame kli attains a status of tahara if it's broken and no longer fulfills its function. Now, if this thing is split lengthwise, it's tahora, but widthwise it's tame, meaning it stays tame because it stays a functional kli because it has two spots for two pots. So even if you split it widthwise, you didn't render it non-functional. You just made two functional stoves. You created two kupachs, so they remain tame. However, lengthwise, you've destroyed it, and then it becomes tahara. However, kupach bein l'orcho bein l'rochvo tahor. Kupach, whether you width or lengthwise, you made it tahor, and that's going to be a problem.
Thinking about